Thank you. Ah, spring. One morning, a week or two ago, I was woken early, before my alarm even went off, by a bird singing loudly outside my window. I was pretty frustrated, because 6 a.m. feels pretty early when you have to get up to go to school. Then my alarm went off, and it was even louder, and shrill and annoying, and I thought, maybe I prefer the bird. And suddenly I felt grateful for that bird and for the song, and I relaxed. And every day since, I enjoy being sung awake by the birds. It reminded me of the first poem I ever learned by heart when I was 9. A birdie with a yellow bill hopped upon my windowsill, cocked his shining eye and said, "Ain't you shamed, you sleepyhead?" It's by Robert Louis Stevenson. It was given to me by my grandfather. Perhaps you noticed that I said learned by heart. Have you ever wondered what that means? I spend most of my time at university these days learning with my head. And I've forgotten what it feels like to learn something by heart. I decided to learn something new by heart. I'm still practicing. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "Each new year is a surprise to us. We find that we had virtually forgotten the note of each bird, and when we hear it again, it is remembered like a dream, reminding us of a previous state of existence. How happens it that the associations it awakens are always pleasing, never saddening, reminiscences of our sanest hours? The voice of nature is always encouraging. I would encourage all of you to find something meaningful in the voice of nature and learn it by heart."
I'm going to share a story with you all now, which you're going to see the images for on the screen behind me. And it's a story that I used to read to Athena a lot when she was younger. It's a story that's called When Sophie Gets Angry. Really, really angry.
If any children want to come forward to see better, please.
If you can't see from where you are and you're a young person, you want to come forward so you can see the screen better, feel free to come on up back up front, because the pictures will all be up here so you can see here. And some not so big kids, some not so little kids are going to come up too so they can see better. Sophie was busy playing when... "My turn!" her sister grabbed Gorilla. "No!" said Sophie. "Yes," said her mother. "It is her turn now." As her sister snatched Gorilla away, Sophie fell over the truck. "Oh, is Sophie ever angry now?" She kicks, she screams, she wants to smash the world to smithereens. Her cat looks a little worried there, too. She roars a red, red roar. Sophie is a volcano, ready to explode. And when Sophie gets angry, really, really angry, pa-bam! She runs and runs and runs until she can't run anymore. Then, for a little while, she cries. Now she sees the rocks, the trees and ferns. She hears a bird. Tweet. Maybe it's the same bird Dawn was hearing the other day. She comes to the old beech tree and she climbs. She feels the breeze blow her hair. She watches the water and the waves. This is my favorite page. The wide world comforts her. Sophie feels better now, so she climbs back down and heads for home. And you notice all those cute little noises. Now she hears chirp and chirr and tweet and hoot and squeak. She can hear all the animals because she's not so angry anymore. The house is warm and smells good, and everyone is glad she's home. Everything is back together again. And Sophie isn't angry anymore. The end. Now, I bet when I first said I was going to read a book called When Sophie Gets Angry, Really, Really Angry, a lot of you thought, what does that have to do with Earth Day? But the story has everything, as far as I'm concerned, to do with Earth Day. Because I've read many, many books to Athena over the years, and there's something about that middle picture of the wide world comforting her that has stuck with me. It's how I feel about the Earth. That the Earth is comforter and healer, sustainer and nurturer. In fact, when I wonder about what I can do to help the Earth, I consider how much the Earth comforts me. And I think, considering how much the Earth gives to me, how could I not do my part to return the favor? It seems to me that when I think about Earth Day and how discouraged we get at how grave and how large the problems of our Earth are, that they fall into one of two different responses that we often get caught in. One, we either become like Alfie and we get cynical and we get jaded. We think nothing I do will matter anyway, so I'll just give up. Or, second, we'll fall into a deep despair, a deep funk about the crisis. The crisis being so big and intractable, climate change is so large, that I will simply get stuck where Sophie does when she sits in sadness, where she cries as she walks along the road. And it isn't until she looks at the Earth once again that it reminds her that there is life all around her. Life to be appreciated, life to be helped, life that she can contribute to. I want to share, closing this very short homily with you this morning, with a little bit of a Jewish notion here. In Judaism, I think I said a few weeks ago, in Judaism they had this notion, especially mystic, sort of medieval mystic Judaism, of Tikkun Olam. It's a creation story, really, in Judaism, in which they envision this almost planet-like being and throbbing sense of creation that at some point shatters, leaving shards of the divine in everything and everyone. And in that notion, in that Tikkun Olam notion, our role as human beings is to help bring all of the shards of the divinity that we can find around us and in us back together. Tikkun Olam literally means repairing the world. They had this vision that that divine something was a divine feminine, Shekinah, a goddess, if you will, that the goddess energy was throughout the world, and it is our task to put those shards back together again. So Jews would tell us that we need to perform mitzvahs, acts of repair, or good deeds that make a difference, however small, in repairing and healing the world. We need to do our part to bring those shards of Shekinah back together. I found this small quotation from those ancient Jewish texts that I thought I would share with you. An epiphany enables you to sense that creation is not something completed, but as something constantly becoming, evolving, ascending. This transports you from a place where there is nothing new to a place where there is nothing old, where everything renews itself, where heaven and earth rejoice at the moment of creation. I like that image because we Unitarian Universalists often say that we believe that revelation is not sealed, which is why we do more and more exploring our spiritual path and our spiritual reality. But I want to say to you from that reading that creation is not sealed either. The final word is not written about how our world will evolve, what will change, and what we can do to repair the world. Creation is not complete. More can be done and is unfolding. So my prayer is that we may do our part, our mitzvah, if you will, our many mitzvahs, to make this world more whole. So may it be. And amen.